Hi there, my name is Mark, and I want to welcome you to this particular version of your self-censor training CD, how to really use your self-censor. Before I continue, I'd also want to just say thank you. Lots of places, of course, that you could have bought a self-censor and chose to buy it from me, and I just want to extend my gratitude to you for that. I have worked with a number of homeowners, over 600 properties actually in the last almost decade, and I've seen a lot of unusual things out there in the real world, and some of those things have been, you know, rather heartbreaking. I've met many people that have alleged to be injured as a result of exposures to either electromagnetic fields or from radio frequency radiation. And that's one of the reasons why I tried to get this meter into your hands. This is why the free shipping, this is why the free CD, and so forth. It's because I know the more people that have these, the more people will understand sort of the unseen energies in the world around them. And anyway, the CD, the purpose of it is basically just to give you a couple of tips and tidbits that, you know, are probably somewhere buried in the manual. And if you're like most people, you may not have time to read the whole manual. So I was hoping if you listen to this, at least you'll be able to avoid some of the common mistakes and so forth. And also, I wanted to give you some insight into sort of this whole field of electromagnetic fields and also radio frequency radiation. This CD is being made live. I want to welcome you to the kitchen in my home. If you hear the refrigerator or the dog barking, that's just their way of saying hello too. So, all right, here we are. First of all, what is the self-censor? Well, as you already know, probably by reading the box and also watching my video online, the self-censor is a radio frequency detector and also an electromagnetic field detector. It's a fantastic little device, and as I indicated in the video, if you had a chance to watch it online, it is particularly good at detecting and quantifying the fields from electromagnetic field sources. We'll describe that a little later on. And it can be useful for measuring some radiation from RF or radio frequency sources. But I would say that this particular device, it really shines as an electromagnetic field detector. And I think that should be your primary goal for using this device, is to learn about the electromagnetic field environment around which you may work or, you know, in places where you live. So if you haven't had a chance yet, now would be a good time to take your cell sensor out of the box, take a look at it. You know, roll it around in your hand a little bit and see what's here. If you just kind of look at it with the face facing you, you'll see obviously there's a big red dome on top. That's where it's going to have a flashing light. It also makes a beeping sound when it's in the presence of very strong fields. You'll also see that there is a gauge there, a meter, and that meter actually serves a dual function. And if you take a look at it, the top scale of the meter is in blue. And that is measuring RF radiation, radio frequency radiation, or microwave radiation. As you see there on the scale, it actually in the box there, it says cellular radiation. And that's because they're assuming that most people are going to use this for cellular telephone radiation measurement. And as you can see, if you look at those blue numbers, it starts at 0.1 and it goes up to 1.0. The cell sensor has two sensitivity levels. And just for the sake of discussion, you can think of the sensitivity levels kind of like you can think of the zoom feature on your computer. When you're using your computer, if you're looking at a page of Microsoft Word or something like that, if the font's too small or if the page is too small, you can kind of zoom in or zoom out. Well, what the sensitivity switch is doing is kind of giving you that same type of zooming in and zooming out functionality. So if we're looking at the top scale and we were measuring cellular or radio frequency radiation, looking at the top scale, which is in blue, and we had the sensitivity switch on normal, which is the N position, then that scale is actually indicating 1 to 10. Actually, it starts at 0, but then it goes, as you see indicated, it says 0.1 and then 0.2, and then it goes up to 1. But when it's on normal, it's actually multiplied by 10. So 0.1 becomes 1, and 0.2 becomes 2, and 0.3 becomes 3, and 1.0 becomes 10. All right, so let's try to review that for a second. With the switch on normal, reading the blue numbers, looking at the cellular level, which is the upper numbers on the meter, If the switch is on normal, that refers to 1 to 10. Looking at the exact same scale, if the sensitivity switch was on high, then the numbers would be indicated just as they appear on the screen. And this is actually why I like to say, keep the switch on high when you're first learning. Because if the switch is on high, you can read the meter just as it appears, and you don't have to remember to multiply it by 10. Now, if you look at the power or ELF part of the meter, what that would mean is you need to look at the green numbers. Okay? The blue number is on top, and the green numbers are on the bottom. And when you're looking on either sets of numbers, you can ignore the other one. So if you're measuring cellular or radio frequency radiation or microwave radiation and you're using the blue numbers, you can completely ignore the green numbers. They're not going to do anything for you. So although the face of the meter looks a little complicated, it's actually very simple because you're only looking at one part at a time. And remember, of course, if you're using the meter on the cellular setting, that would mean that your probe is disconnected at that point. Okay? If you are using your meter, as I most often will suggest in the CD, to measure electromagnetic fields, okay, that means you're going to be using the green part of the meter. You're going to be measuring in milligauss and not milliwatts per centimeter squared. And that if the meter is in the normal switch setting, if the sensitivity is on normal, then that those green numbers are going to mean 0 to 50. Because remember, on normal, it's multiplied by 10. So 1 becomes 10, 3 becomes 30, and obviously 5 becomes 50 and thereabouts. If, of course, it's on the high sensitivity setting, and you have your probe plugged in, and you're reading the green scale, because you're measuring electromagnetic fields, which is what I would suggest with this meter, then you can read the meter just as it appears. And 1 really means 1, and the little line before 1 is a half, and 2 means 2, and 3 means 3. So basically, all that the sensitivity switch is doing is allowing you to zoom in or zoom out. You can either be looking at, for example, 0 to 50, or you can be looking at 0 to 5 and be able to zoom in and have that kind of precision. Okay? The only time that you really have to switch your sensitivity from the high setting to the normal setting is if you're using your meter and the meter goes all the way to the right. What that means, you know, is beyond the 5, for example, if you're looking at the lower scale, or it goes beyond the 1.0 on the top scale if you're using the RF or cellular measurement with the probe disconnected. That would be when you'd want to switch your sensitivity so you can see more of what really is there. Because, you know, how would you know if you were already above 5 on the meter, if the needle were all the way to the right, how would you know what it is? How would you know if it's really 10 or really 20 or really 30? Okay? That's what the sensitivity switch is for. So, anyways, I hope I'm not over-explaining it. I just want to make sure that you really understand it. So, just for right now, put the switch on high, which is in the upper position, have your probe plugged in, and be reading the green scale, measuring in milligauss, and measuring between the range of 0 and 5. Hope this is helpful, and let's keep moving on. So I'm just trying to show you that there's two things this device does, and the scale is designed to work for both of them. So let's take a look at the rest of the parts of the meter, and then what will happen is we're going to get a little bit more into detail, okay? If you look at the meter on the left-hand side of the meter, you're going to see there's a little jack. Now, that jack looks a lot like an audio jack that you'd put a headphone connector to. In this instance, it's actually not for that. It's for the probe that you see in the box, or maybe it's in your hand already. That probe, basically, is a coil, and that coil is designed to pick up on an electromagnetic field. On the right-hand side of the meter, you have the switch. There's actually a knob and a switch. All that the knob is a volume control knob, and that just controls the volume of the beeping sound. If you don't want it to beep too loud, just turn it down. So what I'd like you to do, I think it's just a good idea to start this way, is to put the meter on the high sensitivity setting, just switch the switch all the way up, plug the probe in into the left side of the meter, and then turn the device on. And as you could hear when I turned my cell sensor on, I'm assuming that you've had a chance to put in a 9-volt battery. If you haven't, the battery compartment's on the back. You just slide the little door down and pop in your 9-volt battery. An alkaline battery works best in the cell sensor. The cell sensor does draw a fair amount of power. So if you have an alkaline battery, a Duracell, or an Energizer battery, those are great. If you have just some rechargeable batteries, that's just fine too. But just obviously you want to get batteries that are going to last a long time if you're going to use your cell sensor a lot. And let's see. So we've got the battery inside, we've got the sensitivity setting on high, and we have the power switch turned on. And we have the probe plugged in. When in this configuration, with the probe plugged in, we are measuring electromagnetic fields. Okay? So, what does that mean? It means that if you have the probe plugged in and you try to measure the radiation from your wireless laptop, if you have one, from your wireless router, from your cell phone, from a cellular phone tower, or any other type of wireless transmitting device, okay, it's not going to tell you anything. It's not going to give you useful information. Now, if you bring the probe up to your laptop computer, you may get a measurement of the electromagnetic field produced by the computer. In fact, the hard drive spinning around there has a big magnet, which will kind of throw off the cell sensor a little bit. Okay, but if you actually are using this device just as it is, and you have it, you know, 6 or 7 inches away from a cell phone, and you try to make a call, it's not going to read a whole lot. And that's probably the biggest confusion I get, is people say, well, why doesn't it pick up on my cell phone radiation when I have the probe plugged in? And the answer is because the meter is smart enough to know that when the probe is plugged in, it is measuring electromagnetic fields, which are in a different frequency than the radiation that's produced by a cell phone. Okay? You with me so far? So the best way to start using your cell sensor is to actually use it with an electrical device that we know will emit an electromagnetic field. A good example of a device like that, as I indicated in the video, is a toaster oven, an electric toaster oven. If you happen to not have a toaster oven, but you have a hairdryer or a curling iron, these are also very suitable sources and creators of electromagnetic fields. So go ahead and find one of those devices around you, and make sure your cell sensor is on, your probe is plugged in, and start walking toward the source of your electromagnetic fields with that device turned on. And you'll immediately see that your cell sensor will jump to life. The needle will start moving northward or toward the red zone, most likely. And as you get closer to the item that you are measuring the electromagnetic fields from, the actual cell sensor needle will move further to the right, and the beeping and the flashing light will increase in intensity. What's important, this is important, is that you use the cell sensor not just as an audible alarm and a flashing light, but that you pay attention to the numbers on the meter. Okay? The reason for this is that the sensitivity of this meter is set to only start flashing and beeping at a certain level of radiation exposure or electromagnetic field exposure. It doesn't start when they think there's a small amount. But I think it's extremely important that you pay big attention, okay, to the numbers on the screen, so that way you're really zoning in on exactly what the exposure levels are. So if you see that when you're near an item that you are on that the numbers are on 2, let's say the needle is pointed to the number 2, the green number 2, and you're on high sensitivity, okay, then that 2 really means 2. It means it's 2 milligauss. Okay? If it's on 3, it's 3 milligauss. If it's on 4, it's 4 milligauss. Okay? This kind of goes on without saying. However, if the switch, the sensitivity switch, is on normal, then when it's on 2, 2 really means 20. And 3 really means 30. And 4 really means 40. And you have to really be mindful of this, because if your sensitivity switch is on normal and it's showing 3 on the meter, 30 milligauss is a very strong field. okay, when we're talking about electromagnetic fields and the potential impact on health to not only ourselves, but our pets and our children or whatever. So pay very, very close attention to what your sensitivity setting is on and what the number shows you. Now, there's been some studies that have done measurements of average homes in America. And what they've found, on average, that the average household in America has about 0.5 milligauss. It's a half a milligauss. Okay, and I say milligauss and milligauss somewhat interchangeably. The technical way of saying it, I believe, is milligauss. I just like the word gauss better. But anyhow, so 0.5 would be the very first dashed line on the green scale. It would be, you know, one half of one. And that would be if the switch was on high sensitivity. So as you go around your own home, if you start to see readings that are a lot more than, you know, a half like that, when you are not near a toaster oven or a hairdryer right next to your refrigerator, then you have something that is making those fields. Common things that will produce fields like that is if you happen to live near power lines. And sometimes you're not even aware of them. You know, they're outside the window and you just never paid much attention to them before. And now that you've got your cell sensor, you realize, well, wait a minute, why is my house showing 2 or 3 or 5 milligauss? Or why is it even when I put it on high sensitivity, it's showing 20 or 30 or 40? So the first thing that you're going to do with your meter is start to really kind of move around with it. And a word of reminder, if you move around too fast with the probe and you shake the probe all around, you know, the meter might let off a stray beep or two. And that's simply because it's responding to the fast motion. It's not really picking up a field in that case. Okay? So let's review a couple of things. What this meter is really great at is detecting and measuring electromagnetic fields. And for the money, I honestly don't think that there is a better meter for the money. The reason why is that I have about a dozen other meters that I've trialed out over the years. And a lot of those meters are digital. So they have, you know, LEDs and or digital displays. And although they can be useful, and I'm not putting down any of those devices, the challenge with some of those other devices, especially the ones with the LCD digital displays, is that they don't necessarily respond as quickly as the cell sensor. So what happens is with its analog needle display, okay, the beautiful thing about having an analog needle display like you have on a cell sensor is that when you're moving your probe and you're going in and out closer and further away from a source, right, what's happening is you can see in very, very quick updating that little meter is going to bounce and, you know, go up or go down based on your exact movement further and closer away from the field. With some of the digital display equipment, there's a lag in the digital display being updated. So you sometimes don't really get a very precise measurement, especially if you're moving things around. So we now know that this meter is great for measuring electromagnetic fields. We know that there's a sensitivity switch on the side that either stands for normal or high. When it's on normal, it's measuring between 0 and 50 on the green scale. When it's on high, it's measuring between 0 and 5, okay, on the green scale. The other setting, the other scale, the blue scale, is for measuring radio frequency radiation from some cell phones, some wireless devices, perhaps some wireless laptops. But I have found that on the RF setting, although it's useful, oh, look at that. We're getting a phone call here. Sorry about that. While it's useful, it's not necessarily the most helpful in terms of devices. I'm sorry about the distraction there. Okay, so we now know that that's the case. We know that the probe must be plugged in to measure electromagnetic fields. We also know that we want to measure radio frequency fields. We leave the probe unplugged in order to do that. Okay. Now, some people say that this cell sensor meter is useful for ghost hunting. And I have to say, I'm not entirely certain of that. I've used this machine quite a lot. And every time that I would have thought that I had discovered a ghost, I was near a source of electromagnetic fields, like, for example, an electrical service panel, circuit breakers, or maybe a halogen light that has a transformer, or near a transformer like a cell phone charger that's plugged into the wall or things like that. So you want to make sure that when you're bopping around with this thing and you're learning as much as you can about your environment, that you don't immediately assume it's ghosts that you're detecting. Although, if you manage to detect a ghost, I'd like to hear about it. Send me an email and share it with others if you want me to. Okay, so let me just talk to you a little bit tiny more about the probe. The cell sensor as an electromagnetic field meter is actually referred to as a single axis electromagnetic field meter, or Gauss meter, sometimes known as a magnetometer. Okay, a single axis meter means that it's only measuring the field, the magnetic field, coming in on from one, let's call it one angle or on one axis. So if you think back to school, where you have a graph, you can have an x-axis, you can have a y-axis, and you can have a z-axis. Okay, and these are all things that kind of, you know, these are direction, these are, call them directions. An x-axis might be horizontal, a y-axis might be vertical, and a z-axis might be kind of piercing through them sort of in the opposite direction. This is a little hard to explain, but I think that your cell sensor manual goes into it a little bit more. It's also something that if you Google the idea X, Y, and Z axis, you'll just see an image online. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. In other words, there's three planes from which a magnetic field could be intercepted. The probe that comes with a cell sensor is a real advantage in a single-axis meter, because rather than having to move the meter all around, you move the probe around in order to simulate the idea of having three axes. So when you first start with the probe, hold the probe flat, almost outright. Hold the little nub of the cord between your thumb and your finger. Okay? So, and then have the probe just like out in front of you, just perfectly flat. Okay? And for sake of discussion, we're going to call that the x-axis. Most of the time, if the probe is perfectly flat, that is enough to give you the majority of the readings that you're going to have yourself run into when you're measuring electromagnetic fields. If you want to determine if a field has a greater strength than the axis that you happen to be measuring, then you can take your probe and first, from a flat position, just roll the cord under your thumb and now just hold the little probe up so it's sideways. And so if you can imagine that when it was flat, that there was a dime sitting on the top of it, and then you roll it to the left, and now the probe would be facing up and down, of course, and the dime obviously would slide and fall right onto the floor. And so the first position, you could actually position a dime on the probe and it would hold it on there. The second position is now you've rolled it to the left or the right, and now the probe is up and down, the dime would slide right off. Okay? That position is going to give you a different measurement, if you follow me, because you're going to be measuring the field from a different angle. The Z axis would be if you took the probe that's in your hand and now you turned it, you brought the far away edge of it towards your body so that you're actually staring at the full face of the probe, but the probe itself is positioned up and down toward the ground the long way. Okay? So let's try that again. The first position would be just have the probe out in front of you, have your thumb on the cord, and you could place a coin on it and it would just sit on it. The second position would be you just twist the cord in your hand, okay, and now the dime falls on the floor and the probe is standing up and down. The third position is that you could even take your finger from your other hand, reach out to the end of the probe and now pull the probe toward you by 90 degrees, and now you're actually staring at the probe. Those three positions would represent the X, the Y, and the Z axis. How important is this? Well, it's not enormously important. Most times with a cell sensor, you can just use it in the very first position, the one where you could balance a coin on it. But it's useful. If you're going out and you're doing some work around power lines or big transformers or things like that, you want to see what the story is, moving the probe around and looking for the highest measurement, it will exaggerate the field just somewhat, but it will give you some very useful information as to knowing whether or not, is this a really strong field or is this a field of much lesser intensity? Okay, so that's enough on the probe. Three reminders of those tips. The XYZ axis probe you now know about. Focus on the display, remember, not just the beeping. You want to know, is the meter registering 1? Is it telling you 2? Is it 3? Is it 10, 20, or 30? If it's on the normal sensitivity setting, what is it telling you? Now, the reason why I'm emphasizing that is because I believe personally, from not only a lot of experience with other people, but also to my own experience, that the lower the fields, the better. And if you can find places that have field strength that basically is not even determinable, you see nothing, it's the needle does nothing, that would be a heck of a lot better than 1. And 1 would be a heck of a lot better than 2. And 2 would be way better than 3, again, measuring in the milligauss. The lower the fields, the better. So if you just rely on it beeping or not beeping, you're missing out on all of the information that you'd get by staring at the meter itself and seeing the 0 to 1, 1 to 2, and 2 to 3. Okay, so I'm emphasizing that. And remember, if you move your cell sensor around too fast, you're going to hear a lot of beeping. All right. I think you've got the general overview of what the cell sensor is useful for and, you know, just sort of the mechanics of how it works. Obviously, as you get closer to a source, you're going to get higher fields. When you get further away from a source, you're going to have lower fields. And that's good news because, A, you can measure it, and, B, it's good news because you can learn that the further away from fields that you are, the less personal exposure that you get. So I hope that you'll be encouraged to go to your bedroom, for example, or your children's bedroom, and actually just take a look, you know, at what's in their bedrooms. And is there are there little transformers plugged in beside the bed to charge, you know, electrical devices? Is there a clock radio or something like that producing high fields right near the bed? Maybe you could move that away onto the other side of the room so you're not sleeping, you know, next to those fields. And particularly why a device like this is so useful is because this device is also going to tell you about things that you can't see. Very common, I'll be invited to someone's home and we'll perceive very, very high field levels and we'll have no explanation for that. We'll look around the room and we'll think, well, there's nothing here. And what we discover is that there's something on the wall on the opposite room through the wall. So, for example, maybe on another room there's a gigantic television set with a big power transformer. Very commonly I'll find that on the first floor of people's homes, if in their basement they have fluorescent lights, oftentimes if we're on the first floor, we will pick up very large field strengths, magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields from the fluorescent lights fixtures that are on the ceiling in the basement or the garage or something like that. So when you get a little confused with your meter, remember that magnetic fields do penetrate building materials. And so if you're picking up signals that you can't understand and don't make sense to you, consider going into the room down below or next door and looking for seeing what would be producing that. Now, I also want to say that if you are in a place where you just cannot figure out where the fields are coming from, but you're seeing high fields, then in those instances, you would have fallen into the category of several of my clients. It's very common to have wiring errors within a person's home and have them not know about it. It can cause a lot of problems for people because, number one, you wouldn't know about the fields unless you had a device like a cell sensor. And number two, the electrical service that would be operating, for example, the lights and all those things, would be operating okay. So everything would be working fine. There'd be no anomalies in how things behave, and yet there'd be gigantic fields that you'd be exposed to, or your family would be exposed to. So I ask you to sort of think about that. If you find a room somewhere and you can't figure out what it is that's causing the high fields, consider the very likely possibility that there are wiring errors in that room. A way that you can confirm this is that if you're safe and comfortable with the idea of going to your circuit breaker panel and shutting off some circuit breakers, what you can do is you can keep shutting off just sort of one circuit breaker at a time and see if whether or not when you shut off a particular circuit breaker, the field levels go away. Now you know at least it's on that circuit. If you can then unplug all the things that you can control, you know, from that circuit and the field levels still persist when the circuit breaker is on, it usually means there's a grounding error or an electrician has done something known as cross-connecting neutral wires. A client of mine had a problem with electromagnetic fields and it turned out they had an old light fixture in their attic. And the rubber insulation on the outside of the wiring of the light fixture was worn away. And because of that, some of the current was traveling on the metal conduit that was around it, and it was producing a very large electromagnetic field. Now, the good news is that when you have wiring problems in your home or office, generally speaking, if they're actually wiring problems, they're relatively easy to fix and usually not very expensive to fix either. Where things get a little dicey is, though, is when you discover that the home that you're living in is either very close to high-tension power lines, or your office is very close to high-tension power lines, or things like that. And those things tend to be very difficult to solve, depending on what the problem is. And that's sort of beyond the scope of this particular CD. I would tell you about a really excellent book, however, I'm not the author of, but I've read it and I know the author and I think it's a wonderful work. The book is called Silencing the Fields, and it's written by a gentleman named Ed Leeper, L-E-E-P-E-R. It's called Silencing the Fields. It's written by Ed Leeper, L-E-E-P-E-R. And it's a pretty technical book. If you start to, you know, get real into this and you want to have a more technical understanding of how currents are created within offices or whatever, or living spaces, it's a worthwhile thing to have. But it may be after you've played around with your meter for a while and you're starting to see some anomalies and things you're having a hard time explaining, this may help you explain some of those things. Okay, so we've talked about the cell sensor. We know what it's good for. We know the scales that it measures. We know that it's better for electromagnetic fields and maybe ghost hunting than it is for RF radiation. Although if you want to try using it to determine the radio frequency radiation from your cell phone or your friend's cell phone, there's no secret to doing it. It's very easy to do. Just make sure you unplug the probe. Okay, so probe in when you're reading the lower scale in milligauss to measure electromagnetic fields from power lines, electrical appliances and things like that. Probe out when you're measuring the radiation coming from wireless internet, cell phones, and things that tend to transmit. Okay? Hope you're with me still. Now, I promised the CD would be 20 minutes. And sometimes it's good to under-promise and over-deliver. Other times it's good just to give people what they asked for. But I want to give you just a few more bits of information that I think will be very useful to you. Let's face it, there's not a lot of point of having a meter like this unless you have an interest in what your environment is all about. And I'd like to tell you three short stories. These are three case examples. These are actual cases, people that I have worked with in the past. And I'm telling you these three stories because each one of them will convey a little different idea. And I'm hoping this will sort of bring to life the value of having a device like this. The fact of the matter is electromagnetic fields, at least to humans, are not detectable to the human eye. There are human beings that are capable of sensing these fields. Some people are more sensitive than others. Some people have a condition known as electrical hypersensitivity. And although it sounds a little bit far-fetched, I have personally met a number of these people. And as a result of an exposure that I have, I had myself developed this incredible sensitivity, where one can actually feel the influence of electromagnetic things around them. So although you might think that that's not possible, I don't want to try to convince you. I just like you to keep an open mind. There are people that have had very high exposures to either RF or microwave radiation or electromagnetic fields that do claim and do have legitimate basis for the claims that they have been made ill or their conditions have been worsened as a result of these exposures. So let's talk about, for example, Gina. Gina was an accounting professor, and I'm going to tell you the truth, her name has changed, so has her profession for the sake of the story, to protect her privacy, and that's true for the rest of the stories as well, but every other factual detail is true. Gina was an accounting professor at a large suburban college. She worked in that particular place for a number of years, did not have any particular problems or symptoms. At one point in time, her office was moved into a new building. And when she moved into the new office, she liked her new office. She didn't have any complaints about the idea that she'd moved. But what she found was that over the course of about a year, maybe a little bit more than that, she started finding herself becoming very, very tired when she'd be at work. She found herself being very irritable and snappy at people when that wasn't really the way that she would normally behave. She found herself just having a much more difficult time concentrating and focusing. And when she'd go home and go to bed at night, she'd notice that she'd feel better when she'd be out of her office. And she'd sort of start to recover, you know, on the weekends particularly. But then she'd go back to work on Monday, and by Tuesday she was feeling pretty crummy all over again. Now, something made her suspicious that there was something going on in her office, but she had no basis to know what that might have been. So just, you know, whether you believe in these kind of silly things or not, the reality was, is that this particular woman went to bed one night and she had a dream. And in her dream, she was evidently shown that there was something underneath her desk that was causing her to get sick. So it was a Sunday morning that she woke up from the dream, and she actually took herself to work on Sunday. She went into her office and she sat down at her office desk. She looked down on the floor and she thought, okay, what's underneath my desk that could be making me sick? Well, it was very frustrating to her because evidently there was nothing obvious under her desk at all, except just normal office carpet and so forth. And she wasn't having any respiratory or breathing problems, so she didn't think that would be it. So anyways, where the story goes is that she got very, very frustrated, but she sort of sat there at her desk patiently, and she put her hands in her head and put it down on the desk, and she sort of said to herself, you know, under my desk, what does that mean, under my desk? There's nothing under my desk. Well, anyhow, she was a smart lady, and she suddenly became motivated to realize that under her desk included the floor. And the floor was under her desk, and under the floor was also under her desk. So in her instance, what she did is, for the very first time, she went into the floor beneath the floor of where her office was. And what she discovered when looking through a very, very large door with big, gigantic sort of security windows was that almost immediately under her desk or her office was a gigantic transformer. A very large electrical transformer that fed the electricity for the entire building, college type of building in the city. When she discovered this, she did not have any prior knowledge or any prior thoughts about the lack of safety from being too close to a transformer or power lines. But when she discovered this, she realized that there may have been something to that. Because every time she'd go to the office, she felt sick, and every time she left, she felt better. And remember, she had an office in the same building, a different building in the same college, and never had any problems when she was at work. Well, that woman ultimately got so ill that she had to quit her job. She moved up to a rural area in Maine, and she spent nearly 3 years in Maine regaining her health. It took that long, and even though now she's still a little bit sensitive, fact of the matter is she seems to be okay. Hopefully there's not been too much long-term damage. But it just goes to show that had Gina had a cell sensor, she probably could have saved herself a lot of grief, because what she would have found out was that that office had ridiculously high levels of electromagnetic fields. And the office that she had worked in before didn't have hardly any at all. So this is why a cell sensor is very useful. I next want to move on to Diane. I was invited out to Diane's condominium. It was a large condominium complex. There were 50 different condos there. I was invited there because both her and her boyfriend were noticing that they were just really also becoming very ill. She was suffering from very, very intractable depression. She was having extremely difficult time sleeping. Again, difficulty concentrating, irritability. She was having some weird stomach pains. What she found out was that when she would go and visit her mother, who didn't live too far away actually, when she'd go visit her mother's house for a couple of days, she just immediately felt better. And when she'd go back to her place, she felt sick. And she knew that the symptoms that she was having were unusual for her. She hadn't had a lot of medical history, and that these were bizarre kind of symptoms. I was invited out there to take a survey, and I walked in the door and, without even the benefit of a meter, was able to determine that there was just some very strong field presence. One of the things that you'll start to see, if you are also very sensitive to this, is that when you're in fields, in places where the fields are very strong, the energy or the air actually feels like it's thicker in some way. You'll be able to describe certain places to yourself as like either very thick or very dense places, kind of stressful, sort of heavy places. And then when you're in the places that have very, very low levels of fields, you might find that, you know, you just describe it as thinner. Thinner just means like you just feel like you think clearer, you see more clearly or whatever. It just feels brighter. And I'm inserting just another little caveat here. Places that have very high electromagnetic fields from transformers, power lines, maybe even radio stations or TV transmitters, those places tend to have a greater thickness to them, or a heaviness or a density to them. When you are in areas where there is high frequency radiation, like that could be coming from a cell phone tower that's either hidden in a church steeple, or it could be someone's Wi-Fi router or things like that. Typically, if you were very sensitive, a person might feel kind of agitated and almost like an excitability, being almost sped up or revved up by those things. So actually, I just wanted to give you that differential, and now we'll just sort of continue with the story here. All right, thanks. So anyhow, when walking into her particular place and sitting down in one of the rooms there, I just could tell it just felt like a very thick environment. There seemed to be something going on. I was able to diagnose the fact that she had very elevated levels of electromagnetic fields because there's a certain feeling that I'll get within my body if I'm exposed to those fields versus microwave radiation fields. And I know this sounds a little bit far-fetched, but don't throw out the idea just yet. Because what happens is, what we do is every time that I have a suspicion about it, we don't go on a hunt or a suspicion. What we do is we then take out our meters and we confirm what we think we already know. Well, in Diane's case, it was a pretty scary situation. The reason why is because Diane's condo was right above, again, the feeder circuit, which was a very large diameter conduit circuit that was the electrical service that controlled all of the electricity for 50 other, or in their case, 49 other condos. So underneath her condo unit was a room, and in that room were 49 meters, or 50 meters, the electrical meters you'd see outside a typical home, but there were 50 of them. And all the electricity that serviced those meters ran on in a pipe, or called a conduit, and it ran along the floor of her condo. The problem was, is that her bed was right over the spot where that conduit ran underneath the floor. So she couldn't see it from her condo because it was underneath the floorboards. But the fields that were coming from that pipe, okay, were radiated directly into her bedroom. And every night when she would try to go to bed, and I told you earlier that she was having a very difficult time sleeping, okay, and she'd wake up in the morning very groggy when she'd have just a few hours of sleep, and just feeling out of it and very anxious and depressed. All of the fields that were being produced by that big source of electricity were being radiated all around her bedroom. And I said earlier that she had a boyfriend there. Now that I recall, it wasn't her boyfriend. It was actually a roommate that she had. And he had his own bedroom. And it just so happened the two bedrooms were perfectly in line with one another. So not only did the pipe, the conduit, basically cut her bed in half and therefore radiate her whole body with these excess fields, but it also did the same thing to the housemate, the roommate that she had. It ran right along the entirety of the floor. Now, this is why it's critical to have a device like this. Had she lived in virtually any of the other units in that particular condominium complex, she wouldn't have had this problem. She couldn't have had this particular problem because most of the other units in that condo complex were not above, well, none of the other units were above all of the electrical meters. There were probably a couple others that were cut, you know, sort of bisected by this conduit. It ran under their floor as well, but certainly not many of them. So, again, without having an electromagnetic field meter like a cell sensor, there's no way you'd know that. You yourself might think of moving into that condo. It was a nice condo. Why wouldn't you want to live there? Except that if you had a choice of moving into a place that had very, very high electromagnetic fields now that you have a cell sensor or not, I'm pretty certain that you'd choose the one that doesn't, especially if you had a chance to see the tears in her eyes because that woman was truly suffering for many, many years before she ran across somebody that could explain to her why she felt so much better as soon as she'd leave her place. So this is important, very important. The last story I want to tell you is actually my own personal story. I promised I'd share it with you in the video. Well, here it is. I myself lived in a little house near the ocean. I was there for about 8 years, and what happened to me was that I started feeling sicker and sicker during a course of the 8 years that I was there. And I was going to all the different doctors, and my symptoms included heart palpitations, abdominal pain, also difficulty concentrating. I found myself very, very down and just not myself most of the time. Also had either difficulty sleeping or I was so exhausted I couldn't get out of bed. And I, you know, tried to do everything to get well, and nothing was really working. Well, I got lucky after 8 years, and I was able to find, after spending $25,000, we ripped out a heating system, we changed carpeting, we did all sorts of stuff to try to make the house more comfortable. It just wasn't working. And just as a matter of coincidence, I had a friend who was buying homes, and he and his wife were concerned about buying homes near power lines. And since he was an engineer, he had bought himself a Gauss meter, a lot like the cell sensor that you've got. And I was at his housewarming party, and I said, "Oh, what was the deal with the power lines anyway?" And he said, "Well, actually, you know, some of these realtors thought we would, you know, want to buy these houses near the power lines because they were less expensive, but, you know, they would have to be crazy." And I said, "Well, why would you even know anything about that? Like, how would you even know? How do you even know there's fields or anything?" So he went into the other room. He came back. He handed me a device like a cell sensor, showed me how to use it. And he said, "Well, see here, the house we bought doesn't have any fields at all." Well, anyways, where the story goes, I took that meter home, managed to forget about it for about 2 months because the phone rang when I walked in the door. Put it on the shelf and just didn't really remember and didn't think it was going to tell me anything anyway. It wasn't that important. Ultimately, I turned the meter on. My house proved out to have field levels that actually would have exceeded the limits of the cell sensor. It was considerably more than 100 milligauss, and this was particularly in my kitchen. And just like I told you about Gina and just like I told you about Diane, I also had known that when I was in my home, I felt sicker, but I couldn't figure out what the reason was. And so the particular problem that I had in this home was that there was what they call net current flow on the water pipes. And the simple explanation for that is that in many areas where you have metallic water pipes, you know, copper water pipes, and metallic water mains running up and down the street, so the water is flowing through pipes. And yes, I'm talking about the water, not the electricity. In most places, the electrical code requires that your electrical service box be grounded, or what they call bonded, to your water pipes. Well, that's not a bad idea for electrical safety, but it can produce the problem that existed in my house, in that if for whatever reason too much electricity winds up running along the water pipes, it can energize your grounding wire or your bonding wire. And in my case, that wire ran underneath the kitchen floor. And that wire was carrying a current that was then producing an enormous electromagnetic field. So there's a little secret here in that the reason why I'm selling these meters to you right now is because I want you to be able to go out and determine some of these things for yourself. When you go out there into the world with your cell sensor and you start deliberately looking for power lines and transformers, and you start looking to see where your electrical service comes into your apartment or your condo or your home, when you start looking for wiring errors, when you start talking to people that are living in these fields, I think you might find that there's a little bit more to the story about electromagnetic fields and also potentially radio frequency radiation than the public has yet been aware of. I'm going to close with a couple of more thoughts. These are going to be in the form. I'm going to answer some questions that I get for you. Okay, first of all, are electromagnetic fields dangerous? Well, there's definitely some scientific controversy, but I think that this controversy boils down to more of a political controversy than really scientific controversy. If you go and look around for science to back up the claim that electromagnetic fields cause medical problems or health problems or biological symptoms that probably aren't good for people's health, it's really easy to find that. And if you start to look, if you're not looking, you'd never know. Even simply as going to a website called Power Watch, just Google Power Watch and look at the list of studies on there. There's plenty of scientific studies that seem to suggest that these things are dangerous. The threshold for safety, as it's been suggested, used to be that over 3 milligauss was a bad amount and less than 3 was okay. Well, some European countries have actually revised that and said, well, maybe it shouldn't be 3, maybe it really should be 1 milligauss. Well, if you were willing to drop it from 3 down to 1, you know, in not really a whim, but, you know, as quickly and as easily as they did, a word to the wise, the closer you can get to 0, the better off for you and your family. So pay attention with your cell sensor. You've got a tool now that's going to just tell you what your environment's all about. It's going to prevent you from buying a bad home in a bad place that's got elevated power lines. It's going to prevent you from working in a sick office and so forth. And it's just good that you have it. So, second question, when to use the probe? The reminder again on the probe. You use the probe to measure electromagnetic fields. You don't use the probe to measure RF or radio frequency radiation. I'm going to suggest to you that with your cell sensor, you're always going to use the probe. The reason I say that is because the cell sensor is an excellent electromagnetic field detector. It is truly not an excellent radio frequency detector. Okay, next question. I tried it with my cell phone and it didn't work. Now, friend, you know why it didn't work with your cell phone. Because it's not excellent with most cell phones. I've used it with an iPhone. It doesn't work at all. Okay? So it's a great meter and it's a great value, but it's not a terrific meter for all cell phone radiation. The other reason why it wouldn't work with a cell phone is that you might have the probe plugged in. So if you're going to use it with cell phones, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, you should certainly try it, just be aware that not all cell phones will give an accurate reading and that the probe would have to be unplugged in order to have it work with cell phone radiation. This is also true of your wireless internet router, which quite honestly I'd recommend that you turn off. I don't think, and many experts don't believe that having Wi-Fi in your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is really good for you. If you can get wired internet, I think from long-term health benefit, also for security, for your data and so forth, not a bad idea. So let's see. Next question, why am I getting high readings? Well, first of all, high readings are kind of subjective. If you are getting readings with the switch on normal sensitivity and you're measuring with the probe plugged in, then that would mean if it's beeping and flashing, it means you're looking at least 20 to 30 to 40 milligauss, okay? If you're getting that kind of reading and you're moving your probe around not too fast and everything, you know, you're just like rotating around based on the axes I told you about earlier, the X, Y, and the Z axis. If you're getting really high readings and you have no obvious explanation for it, you've got to look at the floor beneath you. You've got to look at the rooms maybe beside you. And you've also got to look out your window and actually look outside and see, hey, wait a minute, is my house really near big power lines or not? Okay, there's always an explanation. These fields are not being produced by nothing. Okay, so you're going to have to do some investigative work. And unfortunately, because I'm not there looking at your environment, I can't tell you what the answer is going to be. Okay, but it's going to boil down to either appliances and things within your home, okay, or devices in your home. It's going to be wiring problems in your home. Okay, grounding errors or net current flow on the water pipes like I told you about that I had in my home. Or it's going to be something outside of your home that you're too close to or potentially too close to. And that's power lines, transformers, underground wires that run through your property. I've seen several cases of that where people live in a property and they didn't even know there were underground wires. And these are producing very high fields. So what I want you to do is take your meter, get out there, and do some exploring with it, and some of these things will get more real for you. So, in conclusion, don't mess around with any of your electrical stuff in your home, your circuit panels or anything else, if you don't feel qualified to do that or if you don't have the help of an electrician. It's perfectly safe, if your wiring is safe in your home, it's perfectly safe to walk over to your circuit breakers and measure the fields using your cell sensor. But don't open it up and take off the screws and start playing around inside if you don't know what you're doing. Okay, it's just common sense. The other thing that I would just say to you is that the cell sensor is a tool that allows you to see so much of your unseen world. But it's kind of like now, before you had a cell sensor, think of it like you didn't have glasses and you needed glasses in order to be able to see. The cell sensor basically now is a one lens pair of glasses. So what that means is right now you can now see out of your left eye and you can, see better and everything's clear and focused. And now with the cell sensor, particularly with the probe plugged in, you'll be able to see electromagnetic fields in your environment. And for that, I say, woohoo! Okay? It's great. But the electromagnetic spectrum is a very wide spectrum. In other words, what that means is there's lots more things you can see electrically, okay, if you have other devices that can see more of the electromagnetic spectrum. And if you want to know a little bit more about the electromagnetic spectrum, I'd suggest you Google it, and even your cell sensor manual talks about that a little bit more. And you can just see that there's a far range of frequencies that are out there. And while the cell sensor is awesome at detecting the most important frequencies that you're going to find in a home or an office environment in the way of electromagnetic fields, it's still only seeing a portion of the real truth of what's out there. So I'm going to make a suggestion. I don't sell them, but I want to make a suggestion to you. If you like your cell sensor and it's teaching you some useful things about your environment, and you loan it to your friends and your family so they can learn from it too, what I would also suggest you do is you buy yourself something called an electrosmog detector. Okay, now if you just Google it, electrosmog detector, this little device looks like a little spaceship. Okay, it's a little shiny thing. They've designed it to be kind of, you know, almost a little sexy looking, you know, curvy or whatever. And this device is a much better radio frequency detector. You can use an electrosmog detector. It's going to start showing you, you'll be able to hear actually the radiation coming from cell phone towers. It's awesome to take one of these things for a drive down the road. You'll actually hear the radiation coming off the cell phones and the cars next to you. But that device is not useful at all for measuring the radio frequency, I'm sorry, the electromagnetic fields from power lines and wiring problems in your home and things like that. So the two of these devices together, a cell sensor to measure your electromagnetic fields with the probe plugged in, and an electrosmog detector to measure some of the radio frequency or microwave radiation, those two tools together, they don't tell the entire story, but they're going to show you so much of your unseen world. You're going to know so much more about what's happening in your office space. You're going to be able to hear the radiation from your Wi-Fi router popping and clicking. You'll hear it from almost all cell phones, unlike the cell sensor. You'll hear it from cell phone towers. You could probably even hear it from Bluetooth headpieces and things like that, or headsets. So, again, the electromagnetic spectrum is wide and it's always changing. Just many years ago, most cordless phones were 900 megahertz. Now they turned into 2.4 gigahertz. Now you can see 5.6 gigahertz phones. And there's now some in the 6 and the 10 range. So as more devices come out, the manufacturers haven't caught up with all of these devices, with all these meters to measure all of those different devices. But I can assure you that if you get an electrosmog detector, for about, I think it's about $70, thereabouts. And if you have a cell sensor, you are going to know so much more about what's happening in your environment, and you can make some very, very smart decisions of places that you want to avoid. And one other thing I'd like to tell you about the electrosmog detector, just so you tuck it in the back of your mind, is that the human body is actually probably much more sensitive than the electrosmog detector is itself. And for my truly, truly hypersensitive clients that I've worked with, and myself included, most of us that have been sensitized can actually sense these fields from about twice the distance that the actual electrosmog detector can. So if you get an electrosmog detector and you start to play around with it, just know that whatever distance you are away from transmitters, figure at least twice that distance in terms of being a number that would be you know, more comfortable, and you know, 4, 5, 6 times the distance would be better. What that means is, for cell phone towers, if you can like be a half a mile away or more, I mean, why not? All the power to you. So anyways, you'll have more information, and again, neither of these devices even combined are going to give you the entire electromagnetic spectrum, but this is your first device potentially. I don't know that for sure, of course, and this is going to introduce you to the fields from a lot of things. Add an electrosmog detector, and that'll take you to an additional level of awareness, and then sort of take it from there. So I promised you 20 minutes. I've given you a little bit more than that, obviously. I wanted you to get sort of some context for why a device like this is useful. I shared Eugenia's story and Diane's story and a bit of my own story. And believe me, the stories I've told you are not unique. Those of us that have been in the EMF, electromagnetic field, or RF community for a number of years, we all know countless number of people that have either been injured or have struggled enormously as a result of to very high exposure levels. So, gosh, I really do wish you well. Selling these meters and making the CD, it's not really a business for me, but it is a passion. The one thing that would help me enormously, if you feel inclined to do it, is if you're happy with what I've done for you, or some positive feedback on eBay or Amazon or wherever you found this would be terrific, of course. But even beyond that, if you can think of two or three or whatever more people in your life that you think would want to play with a device like this, maybe, you know, go back on and pick up another one for me if you want to give it to them as a gift. But if you don't want to spend the money right now, I understand. Loan yours out. Give your meter to everyone that you know. Teach them how to use it. Give them a copy of the CD. If you want to, you know, copy my CD to give it to them with the meter, go ahead. I don't mind at all. Just do it. Because one of my biggest goals and hopes is that everyone will be empowered with the knowledge that you now have, that there are energies in our environments that we're not necessarily being told about in detail that have enormous variations. Okay? And it's the variations from which people derive challenges and difficulty. If your home has 100 milligauss and mine has 0.2 milligauss, we are living in a different environment. It's a very different world. So all the people that have come forward that said they got sick, many of them have been ridiculed because the public wasn't really told as to why, what it was about their environment that was so different. You have a cell sensor now. You're going to know what the variations are. And I want you to go out there and find many hotspots and see for yourself that we are not all being we're not all here living the same experience. So the cell sensor should keep you safer from these high levels of exposures. An electrosmog detector will give you even more information. I hope that you've also received an email from me that has an enormous number of hyperlinks to allow you to do some further digging and research. With that, I just would say I wish you well. I hope it was helpful for you. And take care. Share your meter with others. Do that with the CD too, as I said. God bless you. Take care.